The Lord be with you. Welcome to Christ Church Cathedral. Most especially if you happen to be visiting with us or you're a guest, we want to say a special word of welcome to you. We welcome as well those who are with us by way of the video live stream. And let's see. Rick is on video this morning. And he'd be happy to hear from you in the chat if you happen to be live with us. Otherwise, that will be recorded, of course, and available for about a month or so on our website and from our YouTube channel. Also, if you're joining us by way of the audio podcast, we welcome you. Will you be seated for a moment, please? Just a couple of things that I'll mention by way of announcement. The first thing was that our website was down for a little while yesterday, and I was going to announce to you that it's still down, but I can now tell you that it's back up. So we did get things resolved overnight, and things should be as they were. We are thankful in the Canadian Church this week for the election of our new primate, the 15th primate of the Anglican Church of Canada, and that is Bishop Shane Parker, who is Bishop of Ottawa, and so we join in our prayers with him as he'll be enthroned, installed as a primate later today. And so your prayers for him and for all who are working with him. Just to mention to you that this past week we were able to fill the position of sexton. The fellow who is taking the position doesn't probably need much introduction. His name is Ashley Swim. So Ashley's coming back, and he'll start on the 1st of July, which will actually be the 2nd of July because of the holiday. But we're thankful and happy that Ashley is back with us. And I don't know if there's anything else that needs to be announced. Anyone have anything? No? Today we're worshiping according to the Book of Common Prayer, and you'll find the service in the purple-colored book in your pew. We begin on page 67, as you kneel, let us pray. Our Father who art in heaven, thy name, thy kingdom come. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. And we join in the Collect for Purity near the bottom of the page. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts be open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love thee and worthily magnify thy holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. And over the page, and at the bottom of page 69, our Lord Jesus Christ said, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.
Thank you. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Almighty God, your blessed apostles Peter and Paul glorified you in their death as in their life. Grant that your church, inspired by their teaching and example, and made one by your Spirit, may ever stand firm upon the one foundation, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
A reading from the book of Ezekiel. Thus says the Lord God, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As shepherds seek out their flocks when they are among their scattered sheep, so I will seek out my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places to which they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the watercourses, and in all the inhabited parts of the land. I will feed them with good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel shall be their pasture. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and they shall feed on rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, but the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with justice. Here endeth the first lesson.
Glorious things are spoken of you, O city of our God, is the refrain of the appointed psalm. We'll use the version on the bulletin insert, and we'll use the refrain at the indicated places. On the holy mountain stands the city he has founded. The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of you, O city of our God. Glorious things are spoken of you, O city of our God. I count Egypt and Babylon among those who know me. Behold, Philistia, Tyre, and Ethiopia, in Zion were they born. Of Zion it shall be said, everyone was born in her, and the Most High himself will sustain her. Glorious things are spoken of you, O city of our God. The Lord will record as he enrolls the peoples, these also were born there. The singers and the dancers will say, all my fresh springs are in you. Glorious things are spoken of you, O city of our God.
A reading from the second letter of Paul to Timothy. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I solemnly urge you, proclaim the message. Be persistent, whether the time is favorable or unfavorable. Convince, rebuke, and encourage with the utmost patience in teaching. For the time is coming when people will not put up with sound doctrine, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own desires, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander away to myths. As for you, always be sober, endure suffering, do the work of evangelists, carry out your ministry fully. As for me, I am already being poured out as a libation, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. From now on, there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not only to me, but also to who have longed for his appearing. Here endeth the lesson.
The Holy Gospel is written in the 21st chapter of the Gospel according to St. John, beginning at the 15th verse. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, When you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." The Gospel of Christ.
For the time is coming when people will not put up with sound doctrine. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. There are maybe more or fewer words more truly said than, "For the time is coming when people will not put up with sound doctrine." I sometimes have to ask myself the question if that time has already come. There are relatively few festival days in the church calendar that take a precedence over a Sunday. Taking precedence is the technical liturgical phrase for bump. St. Peter and St. Paul Day bumps a Sunday. Nowadays, it's only principal holy days that don't get transferred to a day that isn't Sunday. If you're interested, you can find a handy list of the principal holy days in the front of the Book of Alternative Services. With the more recent use of the Common Lectionary, consistency in reading the Sunday lections became a higher priority. The prayer book isn't nearly as flexible and directs that red-letter days are observed whenever they fall, Sunday or not. Saints Peter and Paul, June 29th, doesn't move around on the calendar. There are two things that should signal to us the importance of those two biblical figures, Peter and Paul. The first is that their day always bumps a Sunday. The other is that while the church celebrates them at the end of June together, they also have their own calendar day each January. Peter and Paul are bookends of two extremes of Christian faith. In the Anglican tradition, we consider that referring to those extremes is maybe allows us to describe by using the words evangelicalism and the term Anglo-Catholicism. The Anglican Church is a large tent, accepting a broad spectrum of theology and belief within the limits of the historical Christian faith. Those two edges, those two extremes, are not, as some seem to assume, a difference between the formal and the informal. They're also not representative of traditional versus contemporary language or styles of worship. Instead, they're more about the nuances between a Reformed Christian tradition, versus a more historically authentic perspective of the faith. Both are valid, and the vast majority of Anglicans, I think it's fair to say, would prefer to stay as much in the gray area of the middle than at either of the sides. St. Peter, who Jesus said would inherit the very keys to the kingdom, was the central figure, or one central figure, in the formation of the Christian church in Rome. To this day, Roman Catholics recognize the Pope as the direct bishop successor to Peter, perhaps considered the first bishop of Rome. On the other hand, Paul was not one of the initial 12, but experienced a later radical conversion, meeting the risen Jesus on the road to Damascus. No one questions the use of the title apostle for him, since he is clearly also one who is sent, which is what the word apostle means. Sent by Jesus as a witness. Paul's role in testifying to faith in Jesus, even to his death, may be his most significant claim to fame. Paul was executed for his faith. He is what the church has referred to for centuries as a martyr. In the passage from 2 Timothy, Paul has been imprisoned for being a Christian. Seeing that his days are numbered, he writes to his protege, "The time of my departure has come," he says to young Timothy. "I am already being poured out as a libation," an interesting choice of words, I would suggest. A libation is not just a drink. A libation is precisely a drink poured in honor, a drink offered, a drink that satisfies, a sacrifice. And Paul says, "I'm already being poured out as a libation." Paul has already endured a first trial. He says, being deserted by any who would speak in his defense. He expects that round two will mean certain execution, and he was correct. But he's not bitter or revengeful. Instead, he takes this last opportunity to encourage Timothy. Paul says, "I've run the race. I've fought the good fight. I've kept the faith." His last wish is that Timothy can do the same. I remember when I was a teenager struggling with whether to believe or not to believe. How or if Christianity should somehow be an influence in my life. I remember once asking myself the question, if my life were on the line for my faith, how would I answer? If allegiance to Jesus meant death and denying him meant life, which would it be? Would I live or would I die? That question requires a certain level of maturity to answer well. I'm not sure I did. At one time or another, we are all called to testify, to say what for us is our truth. Who knows when or where, because the trials shift their setting from place to place. They appear in one moment in a university dormitory room, the next in an office somewhere, then in a classroom or a store. They pop up in conversations around the family dinner table, in interactions with sales clerks and healthcare workers and teachers and counselors. The trials sometimes take the form of a casual conversation or a debate about investments at a board meeting, or a question in a job interview, or a classroom quiz. The trial goes on, and we will be called as witnesses. We all have been called as witnesses. Paul is confident that there is reserved for him a crown of righteousness, but not because he has somehow inherited superhuman strength or in some way has risen above his colleagues with faith or without. This word from Paul should offer some comfort and assurance to all of us who fight to do the right thing. The crown is not given to him only, but to all who have longed for the Lord's appearing, he says. Longed for the Lord's appearing. Saul was a Jew, a Pharisee, and he took the job more seriously than most. He made it his business to persecute Christians, and we know that he was good at it. An encounter with the truth, with Jesus, and Saul became Paul. Paul died a Jew. In Jesus, he encountered the truth, the one true God. In the person of Jesus was the appearance of the Lord. As a Pharisee, as a Jew, as a Christian, his passion was the longing to see the Lord. And that might just be the question we need to ask ourselves. Not would I be able to testify when push comes to shove, but rather, how does my life already witness to the truth? What is my deepest, truest longing? For the time is coming when people will not put up with sound doctrine, Paul said. And I wonder if the day has already come. Jesus simply asked Peter what was not a simple question. Do you love me? Amen. Thank you. one of the historical statements of the ancient Christian faith is found in the creed that was made at the Council of Nicaea. You'll find the Nicene Creed on page 71 of the prayer book. And as you stand, I invite you to confess your faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, through whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing.
Thank you.
Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, forever and ever. All that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. All things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. This Holy Eucharist is offered in praise and thanksgiving to Almighty God, our Heavenly Father. We thank him for the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ, and the salvation that he brings to this world. We give thanks in the power of the Holy Spirit for those who have gone before us in faith, who have won the race and kept that faith, and we pray that we too might be strengthened in the world in a ministry to each other and to our God. As we kneel, let us pray for Christ's Holy Catholic Church.
In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, let us pray in confidence for the coming of God's kingdom. The response to, O Lord, who seeks us and sends us, is hear our prayer. We pray for the church, particularly today, the church of the province of Myanmar, their Archbishop Stephen Than Myint-U, for the Anglican Church of Canada, with particular thanks and prayers for Primate-elect Shane Parker, and the work of General Synod this week. For the Bishop Ordinary to the Canadian Armed Forces, Nigel Shaw, and all military chaplains. For the Diocese of Ho and Bishop Matthias and people. The Diocese of Yukon, our prayer partner, for Bishop Leslie. And for our Archbishop David, for Dean Jeffrey, Debbie and Isabel, John and Rod. For leaders and all in the church, that we persistently proclaim your good news, maintain sound doctrine, and together seek your kingdom. O Lord, who seeks us and sends us, hear our prayer. We pray for our world, remembering places of conflict, injustice, and natural disaster. For those suffering from starvation or hunger, the destruction of homes and livelihoods, or the loss of community or homeland. We pray for all in authority who are tempted to misuse their power over others, and for those who uphold human freedoms in every land. May there be justice and mercy through all the world and peace among the nations. O Lord, who seeks us and sends us, hear our prayer. We pray for all people in the communities in which we live, especially for all those who need a helping hand, and for our local government leaders, for people in the grip of addiction and all those who need release from burdens, and for all organizations striving to help others, that as we follow Jesus, we would offer hope and caring service to each other and outside our doors. O Lord, who seeks us and sends us, hear our prayer. We pray for all we know who are sick or suffering, particularly those on our cathedral list, Donna, Charles and Jean, Pat, Dwight, Sue, Skylar, Aaron, Judy, Carolyn, Jacob, Stephanie, Neil, Brooklyn, Richard, Janice, Dolph, David and Maureen, Heather, Carol, Cooper, Jeff, Lorraine, Savannah, any you are praying for. Have mercy on these and any who have recently been bereaved, and give them comfort. O Lord, who seeks us and sends us, hear our prayer. We pray for ourselves. Holy Spirit, help us to follow our Lord Jesus at all times and through all places, that we may claim we have finished our race well and kept the faith. May our prayers be accepted through Christ. Amen.
Ye that do truly and earnestly repent you of your sins and are in love and charity with your neighbors, and intend to lead the new life following the commandments of God and walking from henceforth in his holy ways, draw near with faith and take this holy sacrament to your comfort and make your humble confession to Almighty God. And at the top of page 77, Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, maker of all things, judge of all men, we acknowledge and confess our manifold sins and wickedness, which we from time to time most grievously have committed by thought, word, and deed against thy divine majesty. We do earnestly repent and are heartily sorry for these our misdoings. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father, for thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake. Forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may ever hereafter serve and please thee in newness of life, to the honor and glory of thy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our heavenly Father, who of his great mercy hath promised forgiveness of sins to all them that with hearty repentance and true faith turn unto him, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and bring you to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And the thanksgiving and consecration on page 78.
The Lord be with you, and with thy spirit. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up unto the Lord. Let us give thanks unto our Lord God.
Blessing and glory and thanksgiving be unto thee, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who of thy tender mercy didst give thine only Son, Jesus Christ, to take our nature upon him and to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption, who made there by his one oblation of himself once offered a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice, oblation, and satisfaction for the sins of the whole world, and did institute and in his holy gospel command us to continue a perpetual memorial of that his precious death until his coming again. Hear us, O merciful Father, we most humbly beseech thee, and grant that we, receiving these thy creatures of bread and wine, according to thy Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ's holy institution, in remembrance of his death and passion, may be partakers of his most blessed body and blood. Who in the same night that he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of this, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this as oft as ye shall drink it in remembrance of me." Wherefore, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, we, thy humble servants, with all thy holy church, remembering the precious death of thy beloved Son, his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension, and looking for his coming again in glory, do make before thee in this sacrament of the holy bread of eternal life and the cup of everlasting salvation the memorial which he hath commanded. And we entirely desire thy fatherly goodness, mercifully to accept this, our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, most humbly beseeching thee to grant that by the merits and death of thy Son, Jesus Christ, and through faith in his blood, we and all thy whole church may obtain remission of our sins and all other benefits of his passion. And we pray that by the power of thy Holy Spirit, all we who are partakers of this holy communion may be fulfilled with thy grace and heavenly benediction. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory be unto thee, O Father Almighty, world without end. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you. We do not presume to come to this thy table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under thy table. But thou art the same Lord, whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen.
Thank you.
In the words our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. God, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen.
Let us keep on.